Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday night, baby. Love Friday nights. Check that. Really, 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 really love Friday night. What a beautiful evening. You know, they got $8.99 ribeyes, 12 ounces at Price Chopper. Go get you one. Hy-Vee's got a hell of a deal on frozen pizzas. Go get you one. Take some time. Relax. Turn on 610 Sports Radio. Download the Odyssey app. Listen to a little after hours tonight. You know why?
Friday night. I'm thinking that we just might run away to some place we can be who we are. We can be who we are.
That's right. You can be who you are tonight on After Hours. Dusty Likens, Nathan with you this evening. We are almost there, man. We are almost there, and you can hear the sweet sounds of it all.
2-1 on Salvi. The pitch. High fly ball, left center field.
You think he got a hold of that one?
Back goes Blade to the wall, and it's caught by a fan on the grass berm. Salvador Perez. It's a one-out, two-run home run in the bottom of the first inning. Bobby Witt Jr. will lead off the bottom of the third inning with the Royals leading the A's 2-0. High fly ball, deep center field. Back goes Blade. He turns, and it's on the grass for another home run for the Royals. Bobby Witt Jr., the straightaway center field, and the Royals lead is 3-0.
Mm-hmm. Walk-off win in spring against the A's today. Love to see it. And if you didn't hear that Bobby Witt Jr. audio enough, here's the sound off that guy's stick. Oh! One more time. Oh, one more time. Oh, God, I'd love to hear it. Love to hear it. I'm a geek. I love baseball. I love the sounds of baseball. I love everything that is baseball, but we have to wait a little bit longer until baseball officially gets going. March 28th, opening day.
We're under a month away, baby.
We are. We are officially 27 days away from opening day. I know there's a lot of people like, I don't want to hear about it.
Dusty, all right, you cannot say a frozen candy bar at the turn. That's excluded from this answer. Mm-hmm. Name me something better than the sound of a spring training audio highlight with the crack of that bat down in Arizona.
A glizzy at the turn.
Okay. With I mean, you kind of just did what I told you not to do.
You said a frozen candy bar. Better than spring? Ooh. How about the, and maybe this is just me, but you know the nights that you're able to get away with sleeping with the windows open?
Oh, yeah.
6 a.m. birds chirping. Yeah.
Okay.
That'll get you going. That'll wake you
that
up.
That sound off of Salvi's bat was elite.
I mean, it was nasty. He hit it deep to center, and as soon as he hit it, he just put his head down. But how about that for a 1-2 combo in your Royals lineup this year, Bobby Witt, Salvador Perez? Huh? Huh? You okay with that? Somebody says Pizza Hut has a large hot and honey for $14.99. That comes from Lance. I'm a big hot honey guy. That might be my stripper name, Hot Honey.
Hot Honey. Did we ever come up with a replacement for the Dirty Werewolf?
Crown Jewel.
Oh, okay, we're calling you Crown Jewel. Okay.
Yeah. That's what people call him. That's what they call me. I didn't come up with it. I told you that, man. I don't come up with my own nickname. It already says on the text line, Friday night with a Crown Jewel. Damn right.
I see it now.
That's right.
So Hot Honey's available. All right.
Yeah. All right. I like hot. I like Nashville hot. I like anything that has a blank hot. Nashville hot. Hot blank. Honey. Put it all over. Somebody says that Salvi home run was sweet. It was. It sounded nice. It just, I mean, welcome to Dogtown.
2-1 on Salvi. The pitch. High.
Dogtown is officially here. Royals in action today. Like we always do on Friday night, Jay Binkley will join us at 6:30. I've already seen Jay Binkley once today. Then I'll get to talk to him again this evening. We'll do Richard of the Week at 6:45. Again, man, you mess with kids, good chance you're going to be a Richard of the Week. And that's the only tease I'll give you towards that. Out of left field question is going to get dangerous. I know that already. But it's Friday night. And on Fridays, man, it's, you know, it gets a little risque, you know? It gets a little fun on Friday night. So we'll do that at 8 o'clock for all of you that have gotten through the week. I'm glad that you did. Enjoy it. It is a nice 54 degrees. The sun is setting a little bit later. Gotta love that. We have what? Spring forward. Move our clocks next 2 weeks?
Next weekend, I
next
think.
Monday? Next Sunday.
I think it's next Saturday, like next Saturday going into Sunday.
And that's when we lose an hour, right? Uh-huh. You spring forward.
Yeah, but then the sun's out till like 7:30 at night.
Love that. That means
that any day.
That means you can get those nice golf rounds. You can get those nice sunset tee times. You can go out there for like $32 and tee off and try to get it all in really fast. But one thing I want to start this show off with tonight is, man, maybe it's just me. I'm kind of over the whole combine. Right, the combine, Indianapolis. I feel like it's just kind of redundant, overrated, and just dumb. Right, 40-yard times are fun to watch and fun to listen to, and you know, maybe you got the pleasure of getting to watch the Chris Jones one. I don't know if you did or not, but if you didn't, it's scary for many, many reasons. But again, it's one of those things where like it's not really anything other than, is he going to throw? Is he going to run? Is he scared? And this was a question that somebody literally asked Caleb Williams.
Morning, kid. Caleb, are you afraid to compete? Everybody. Are you afraid to compete? How do you respond to people say that you're worried to be compared side by side with your peers in medicals, measurements, and workouts? Are you afraid to be measured against those guys one-on-one? Is that why you're not doing things?
No, not doing things. It was a decision by me and my team, my family. And it comes down to that.
Like, first off, that guy's a turd. He couldn't even, like, wait for Caleb Williams to say good morning one more time.
Morning, kid. Caleb, are you afraid to compete? Everybody. Are you afraid to compete?
What a jerk.
Oh, the press conference hadn't even started. No. I mean, he was, like, just walking up to the mic. And,
right.
Yeah.
And I understand there's people that really value these things. And really the only time I've ever valued a combine number was when I played Madden and you'd have rookies coming into your fantasy league that you were putting together, and it would tell you that his mom was a track star and his dad was a weightlifter. So you're like, okay, he's going to have some speed and strength. And then you would, you know, see what his numbers were after you selected him. And it'd be like, oh, 89 speed, throwing power, 91. Okay, that makes sense. That's the only time I've ever worried about numbers. And I think the 40-yard dash is overrated, which we all know that. Now, is it cool when we see somebody put up a 4.2 blank? Sure. Is it weird when we hear that somebody's got 10.5 to 11-inch hands? Sure. But in reality, when it's all said and done, where these guys are really judged is behind closed doors, right? We remember the story of Patrick Mahomes, Matt Nagy, and Andy Reid, where Matt Nagy essentially, when they did the pre-draft meeting or the pre-whatever, the player evaluations, they liked Mahomes so much because, first off, they saw how he could throw and move in the pocket when they went to Texas Tech. Then they had him in the room where they were like giving him scenario questions and how he would handle questions from the media, and he nailed it. And then when it was the big test day, Matt Nagy goes, hey, here's the cheat sheet. Here's what he's going to ask you. Know these questions, knowing that it was kind of being facetious, right? It was kind of one of those like, hey, we already know who you are. We already know who you are. This is just kind of a play on Andy Reid to see how quickly and honest you can answer these questions that you already know the answers to. But again, like, these guys get asked questions that are absolutely just atrocious. Like, how do you feel being in a locker room with other naked men? That was a question that they asked former NFL players that were going through the combine. Like, I don't understand like what the importance is of that. Do you feel intimidated or scared? Is this why you're not doing it? Lamar Jackson, right? Lamar Jackson refused to run a 40-yard dash because people thought they were going to try to draft him as a wide receiver. Smart move. Lamar Jackson's won 2 MVPs as a quarterback and is on path to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. You might roll your eyes or scoff. Oh, Lamar Jackson, a Hall of Fame quarterback. Every quarterback's won 2 MVPs in the NFL is in the Hall of Fame. Those are facts. But the other thing about the combine is I think some people might put too much stock in it. But where I think everything matters is when you have the one-on-ones, right? You could have a work expo. I remember doing this at UCM. We had a college day, work day expo. and all these businesses that sent their young people out with, you know, poster boards and koozies and magnets and keys and stickers were like, what makes you want to do blank? Oh, I would love to do this. Oh, I'd love to do that. But you know what really gets you the job is when you sit down and interview 1v1. That's when you find out who somebody is. The combine, I'm good. I honestly haven't followed it. In years past, I might have had it on NFL Network to watch the guys run, to watch the guys lift, to do all that. What I'm more interested in is once the players are drafted, why they were drafted. Oh, well, we sat down and had a 35-minute conversation just about family. We had another 35-minute conversation just about what your come-up was. And we had another 35-minute conversation of, what are you going to do if you're in the locker room with this player, that player, and this player, and they're the voice, and you have to listen to what they have to say, and they give you this advice. That tests the true side of character. Not some guy going out there and running down the field. How many times does somebody actually run full speed straight for 40 yards in the NFL? Hardly ever.
It's not a common occurrence. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And how many times? I don't know. To me, I just find it one of those things where, like, misguided information and unfairness and quality and performance is judged. Whereas I think most stuff is judged when you are 1v1, no cameras around, because I've been in interviews. I've done interviews at restaurant jobs. Why'd you leave your last job to come to this job? You're honest. You don't have to sugarcoat stuff because somebody might misquote you. You can tell your future employer, hey, here's why. I left X to come to Y because this wasn't what I liked and this is what I have to, that's what they do. That's how it works. And the NFL Combine is something that to me is just kind of laughable. It's kind of a joke. Marvin Harrison's not going to work out. He was supposed to speak to the media, didn't. And everyone's going to be like, oh, he's not a team guy. He didn't show up to the Combine Media Day. I wouldn't either. Somebody's going to ask him a dumb question. Hey, do you remember that story about your dad at a car wash with a gun? Why? That doesn't mean anything. Put Marvin Harrison in a room with Brett Veach, Andy Reid, and Patrick Mahomes, then ask him questions. And I guarantee you those questions that they ask will be a little bit more beneficial towards the team. In my opinion. Somebody says, did you just say Dongtown? Absolutely. Because we're there. If you missed the Bobby Witt Jr. sound. Oh. I mean, just like a video game, right? The crowd, the noise, the smack. Ooh. And then here's your Dongtown.
One on Salvi. The pitch. High fly ball, left center field. It will carry. Back goes Blade to the wall. And it's caught by a fan on the grass berm.
Not only that, Ryan LaFever seems to be in midseason form. That is just typical LaFever. And I know LaFever personally, and I've had conversations off the side like, do you do these things? Oh, of course I do, Dusty. All right. Caught by a fan. It's like the opposite of what Fiziak would do. There's a ball. It's far. It's deep. And it's caught at the warning track by the Cubs. It's like, thank you, Steve, for absolutely crushing my hopes. Coming up on the other side, the San Francisco 49ers. Boy, are they in trouble. I say this because the Chiefs, a team who's going through a lot of tough situations, they seem to get it right on and off the field. San Francisco, you got some splaining to do. That's Nathan. I'm Dusty. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. One more time.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Something tells me I should know what Alt-J means by they say when my left hand's free. I feel like I should know what this song is about, but I could be wrong.
Okay, we did that maybe a few weeks or months ago when I was on. Mm-hmm. Didn't even consider this song for a possible double meaning.
I don't know. Makes you think. Text line is on fire tonight. Things you love to see. We've got a good audience so far. We're 20 minutes in. We got 2 hours and 40 minutes left, and they go fast. The reporter in that Kayla Williams audio was for sure a plant by a team. 1,000%. Hey, Mr. Crown Jewel. I think we need some I'm on fire and fast car lead-ins tonight to get this Friday night. Risky night on track, Casey Hunk. Adrenaline plays a factor in games. Can't be portrayed at the combine. Nope. And then someone said, if that sound doesn't turn you on, we can't be friends. Love the show, Dusty. I responded with, I'd say we're friends. They're
if,
just...
If what doesn't turn you on?
The sound of a bat hitting a ball. Some people take advantage of that sound.
This sound?
Oh! Uh-huh. Exactly. I ain't done. You like home runs? Chicks do. Dudes do. Diana Rossini, for those of you asking, Mike Evans plans to hit free agency for the first time in his career, per sources. Tampa and Evans are in discussions, but he wants to explore options. This doesn't mean Evans' time with a Buck as a Buck is over, but he plans on hearing from all teams before making a decision. Good. You should. San Francisco, right? San Francisco is a team that did everything you were supposed to do in the NFL. In 5 years, they've been to two Super Bowls. And in those two Super Bowls, they have lost while leading to one team, the Kansas City Chiefs. And there is no doubt that the San Francisco 49ers are eventually going to run into the prisoner of the moment of players making a lot of money that are studs. And we've talked all week. If you've missed the shows, you can find them on the internet. You can go to the Odyssey app, download the After Hours session, introduce it to 5 to 6 to 10 other friends of yours and say, listen to this guy, he's a nut. But you'll also hear within some of those audio cuts that the Chiefs are great because the Chiefs win when they're supposed to, and they also make the tough decisions when they're supposed to. And the 49ers are no different. They've made tough decisions. They just don't win when they're supposed to. Their window of their roster is loaded. Debo, Ayuk, Bosa, McCaffrey, Hargrave, right? Charvarius Ward. And eventually, they're going to come to a situation where they're going to have to pay their quarterback. Whether you like him or not, whether you believe in Brock Purdy or not, the poison of the NFL is the fact that if you find a quarterback that can do what you like and continue to do so, you sign them to a contract, and that contract seemingly is pretty massive. Look at Daniel Jones. The guy can't throw the ball, but he's working on no-look passes in the offseason. Not sure why. Obviously, video is taken out of context, but he throws a no-look pass, and then the text is, look who's looking at working on their no-look passes. But you will eventually have to pay Brock Purdy, whether it's next year or whether it's in 2 years. You're already paying Christian McCaffrey a ton of money, highest paid running back in the NFL. Debo Samuel makes money. Nick Bosa is the highest, I believe, the highest DN paid in football. Coming off a defensive player of the year in the contract that set the market. And we've heard conversations from other people that are inside the industry that say, yeah, well, you know, Chris Jones is going to look for Nick Bosa money. And then people think, well, he's a D lineman considered to a DN, but, you know, same ballpark, different position. It's like center fielders and right fielders, right? And San Francisco now, John Lynch coming out, and saying, a year ago, no one believed that the 49ers would be major players in the free agency then, the first day of the legal tampering period, preceding the start of the league year. San Francisco agreed to a four-year, $84 million deal with former Philly defensive tackle Javon Hargrave. We mentioned him earlier. At the end of Lynch's breakout session, I asked the general manager, this is from the San Francisco Chronicle, by the way, whether a similar out-of-the-blue move or moves might be coming next month. He broke into a wide smile and started laughing. Quote, I don't know, he said. It's still very much a fluid thing. Then he laughed some more. Normally, this would be the point in which I address the legions of naysayers who fret over the potential implications on the salary cap and warm of doom and gloom, and many contracts are given. It's true the Niners can't pay everybody and that they'll probably have a big salaries to shed in 2025 because of the way many of the current deals are structured. Whatever. But they will have to make moves. And that from the San Francisco Chronicle. The 49ers will have to make moves. They will have to do things that they don't like to do that will leave their fans being like, why would we get rid of Ayuk? He's so good. And you hear that in Kansas City. And this is where this conversation is really the juice of it. Because I know a lot of you are diehard, just eat, breathe, and fuel yourself off of Chiefs news and Chiefs fun. They can't bring everybody back. Normally, when you have an anomaly of a season like they had on defense, where they were the second highest rated defense, allowing only 17.6 a game. In fact, the team above them, I believe, only gave up 17.3, the Ravens. But when you do stuff like that, you tend to have a lot of outstanding players on your team. And the Chiefs had that at defense, right? They had Karlaftis, who's still on a rookie deal. They have Chris Jones, who's looking forward to getting a contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll see if that blooms to fruition with this team. Willie Gay, Nick Bolton, Drew Tranquil, Leo Chenal, linebacking core. Nick Bolton, Willie Gay, contract. Nick Bolton, coming up. Trent McDuffie, Justin Reed, L'Jarius Sneed. The Chiefs have done this before. They moved on from Tyreek Hill, and they've won back-to-back Super Bowls, and they've done so because they've gotten help in the draft because of the picks they acquired for him. But teams like the 49ers that don't feel like these things exist and that they can hold on to this, it doesn't work out very well. And the Niners have had two opportunities to bring it home, and they didn't. And this might have been their best chance all year. And if you want something more to ease and make you laugh about the 49ers, how about this funny story from Adam Schefter?
The draft where the 49ers in 2017 had the second overall pick. Patrick Mahomes was in that draft.
Okay.
They didn't do any work on him.
Yeah.
Because they thought the following offseason, Kirk Cousins was leaving Washington.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. This gets better and better. So Kirk Cousins is leaving Washington. They thought that he would want to be there. They would want him there. And it's a layup. So there's no reason to do any real work on the quarterbacks in the 2017 draft. So why do you need to work on Patrick Mahomes with Deshaun Watson when you know you're going to get Kirk Cousins?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is New England calls up San Francisco that Halloween. It's like, hey, we got to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. Just give us a two. Really? Well, they do that. So that blows up the Kirk Cousins plan. But back to that draft in 2017, the only quarterback that they did extensive work on, that they wound up trading up for, in the third round, they moved up to take C.J. Beathard.
Mm.
And when C.J. Beathard left after 4 years and signed with Jacksonville, the 49ers got a compensatory seventh-round draft pick.
Oh.
And with that compensatory seventh-round draft pick that they got from the draft in which they bypassed Patrick Mahomes, they took Brock Purdy.
That's better than Patrick Mahomes.
That's such a beautiful story.
That is a great story.
Now, again, they're being sarcastic. That is the Pardon My Take podcast that you heard there that Adam Schefter was on. But it's interesting to know. Mahomes, who cares? We're going to get Kirk Cousins. Oh, who's the guy that's beaten you twice in the last 5 years while you had a lead in the Super Bowl? Patrick Mahomes.
They spent three first-round picks on a quarterback named Trey Lance.
Who's no longer on their team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think the San Francisco dominance is going to last much longer. Maybe this next year they'll bring everybody back and have a chance, but eventually you're going to see a lot of pieces go, and in about 5 to 6 years from now, they're going to be like, man, we really had a chance from 2019 to 2025, and we don't have anything to show for it. Hate to see it. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, bunch of Broncos ties. Take that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Coming up on the other side, speaking of Mahomes, this guy had Patrick Mahomes mocked to the Chiefs way before anybody. He needs no introduction. It's Jay Binkley. He joins After Hours on the other side, as he does every Friday at 6:30. That's Nathan Dusty. You're listening to After Hours.
If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain.
That's right.
If you like making love at midnight.
Who doesn't like making love at midnight?
In the dunes on the Cape.
In the dunes on the Cape. Joining us now, Jay Binkley of the Character Concerns podcast. You can check out that podcast every week that it comes out. Him, Kristen Acero, they get all your information as we are closer and closer to getting to that point. Jay Binkley, how are you, my man?
What's going on, Des, man? I'm just calling you from the dunes on the Cape.
Oh, so you've already had your sex?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I'm glad you...
No, I didn't. I was actually at happy hour earlier.
That's right, you and I.
Yeah, you saw me.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, a bird has told me that somebody's got a birthday coming up.
Yeah, well, yeah, you never know. It might happen, you know. I mean, it's probably on the bathroom wall. What is the birthdays for the month?
No, we have a birthday coming up for one Jay Binkley.
It would be Sunday, Dustman, but because of leap year, it is now Monday.
So you're kind of affected by the leap day.
Yeah, kind of. My birthday's going from, actually, it was Saturday last year. It goes to Monday this year, Mondays aren't very fun, you know, come on.
913-586-7610. Jay Binkley's perfect birthday gift is blank. We'll read those for you as we do this interview, Jay Binkley. I led my show off today with something that I feel could either piss you off or make you think. I said that the NFL Combine is a waste of time and it's overrated. What is your opinion?
Oh, Dustman.
I know.
Oh, you hurt my feelings. Actually.
I know.
But it's all I've been doing. I mean, I've been texting Chris and Lucero back and forth. We've been talking about these 40 times, and Nate Wiggins hurting himself after running this 4.29 40, and
popped his quad. You
know, but it's fun to talk about. It's fun to talk about the prospects. It's fun to go back and see some of the guys the Chiefs drafted in the past and see which direction they're going. But the NFL season's begun. It's hard to believe that it just seems like the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, which they actually really were. It's the same month that they won a Super Bowl, and now they're already at the NFL Combine. And then we have NFL free agency coming up March 11th through 13th, the legal tampering period. But I absolutely love the Combine. It is fun to dive into, Dusty, and tomorrow we get to see the wide receivers, the quarterbacks, and the running backs. So it is a big Chiefs day to watch tomorrow at noon on NFL Network.
Yeah, but you know none of the important receivers and quarterbacks are going to do anything in the Combine, though.
Well, a lot of them are. Like Marvin Harrison Jr. is not going to do it, but Rome Odunze said that he's going to do everything. Malik Nabers won't do it, but a lot of the guys will be there at 32. Brian Thomas and Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell. You'll see, well, Xavier Worthy's kind of coming off that injury, so you'll see a lot of the guys that the Chiefs could draft participate in Combine drills tomorrow, which looking forward to.
Right now, who is the dream pick for Jay Binkley in this draft at pick 32 for the Kansas City Chiefs?
I think Brian Thomas, the 6'4 receiver from LSU, who led the nation in touchdowns. Xavier Worthy is another one, even though he's a lot smaller, but he fits the profile of what the Chiefs need. He's over 6 foot. He's talking about being the fastest guy in the draft. I mean, it's in the 4.2 category. We'll see what he runs tomorrow in the 40. But Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell. But Brian Thomas, Keon Coleman, I think that group right there could be there. I don't think Brian Thomas quite goes to 32. I think he's like 28 to 32. But one of those four guys that would be delighted. And two of those guys, and Keon Coleman, Xavier Worthy, can return punts as well. So very excited about those guys.
We are talking to Jay Binkley of the Character Concerns podcast, also of 610. He is the Whit Merrifield or the Hunter Renfro of the station. It is Binkley's birthday on Monday, so Jay Binkley would like to have blank for his birthday. So far, Bink, you have Maction in Spring from the 816. Yeah. You have from the 913 Beer Chew and Scratch Off Tickets. And the other one is a 6-pack of IPA Pounders for Bink.
Yeah, it's a great text line.
It looks like people know you well.
They do. They're kind of nailing everything.
Yeah.
Love it.
You know what they say. Okay, so last night I said, and maybe this is a thought process, but with the two big names that we're hearing in the offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs, Legarius Sneed, Chris Jones, there's no secret there. This team is better with Chris Jones and without Legarius Sneed, fact or fiction?
Oh, you know what? It's so tough because I'm such a big fan of Legarius Sneed. I will say Jones only because of his presence, because he could play inside and outside. But it's a very close. I mean, they're right there, 1A, 1B, or 1A, 1A, because what Legarius Sneed does to other number one wide receivers, he kind of bullies them. He's always hitting them. He's always in their face. He's limiting them to a bad game. As far as that's concerned, he could play different positions. He always has. He's been great at blitzing from the secondary. But just Chris Jones, I mean, I think Chris Jones right now, you could say he's a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. I don't think Snead is. So career-wise, I think it's Jones. But if you ask me at the end of 3 years who's going to be better, Snead or Jones, I would say Snead.
I just feel like this team, and by the way, breaking news. And again, I'm not trying to break your heart or crush your birthday wishes. Ian Rappaport, Georgia tight end Brock Bowers will not be working out at the combine. It was just announced here at Lucas Oil.
Yeah, I just heard about that. Uno Cerro just texted me and told me that.
Dude,
I'm locked in with my Boulevard Irish Ale. I'm ready to go, man. I'm ready to go on combine tonight.
I try to tell you, it's a little overrated. Doesn't need to be done. It's more about the closed-door meetings between player, coach, and GM. That's just me. Look, here's why Chris Jones, to me, is more important to keep on this team than L'Jarius Sneed. Williams, Watson, McDuffie, right? All won a Super Bowl as rookies. I get it. L'Jarius Sneed was on that team. Corners, maybe I'm wrong here. Corners, are they not better when the pressure up front is immaculate? And if Chris Jones stays there, he still can produce pressure up front for at least, I think, a good two more years. He also can help the evolution of Karlaftis in the evolution of a guy that you drafted last year in the 32nd pick in Felix Ndukayuzama. Plus, you don't have Omenihu coming back next year, so I feel like you're stretched thin at D-line as opposed to you are at cornerbacks. And Beagle, you and I both know games of trenches can be won in at the defensive and offensive line. And Chris Jones, I think he's solidified himself to be here.
If he can maintain his consistency for 3 years, whatever the length of the contract is. But you're right. I mean, only Neil Farrell's under contract. He's the only guy under contract from the Chiefs defensive line. But you know what? Karlaftis got 10.5 sacks last year. That's the same as Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa and George Karlaftis both 10.5 sacks. I expect that number to go up with Karlaftis. Now, how much does Jones influence what they do? Quite a bit, I'm sure. But how much does L'Jarius Sneed help out Trent McDuffie and help out that secondary? I think quite a bit. But I will say this. The secondary has more pieces in it than what the defensive line does without Chris Jones. So, yes, in that thing. But having two shutdown corners in McDuffie and L'Jarius Sneed is immeasurable. And he's younger. So I do like that fact with Sneed.
I had a bold strategy about the offseason free agency. I know that a lot of people's wish list, I mean, if I could wake up in the morning on Christmas and the Chiefs announce or Adam Schefter or somebody announces the Chiefs have agreed to a deal with Michael Pittman Jr., Binkley, I'd run around the station butt naked. But I don't think that's going to happen. I look at the reality. If it does, we can go back and play the tape about how wrong I was. But I like this strategy more. Go get two solidified number twos. You know who's out there? A guy like Curtis Samuel. Wouldn't he be great on this team? And wouldn't this team be great if you had guys like Curtis Samuel, the kid out of New Orleans, the Shahid, that kid who can run the deep pass, who's a solid number two option, and then rushing.
Mike Evans.
I mean, Mike Evans ain't coming here, man. I want to believe it, but I mean, it looks like his situation is I'm 32 years old. I want a big ass contract. I've already won my Super Bowl, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't speak for everybody, but what if you lined up this team with three solidified number two dudes with Isaiah Pacheco in the backfield and Patrick Mahomes still at quarterback, and then you could just run like basically you'd have Juju, Watkins, and Rashee Rice. Would you love that or not?
I think he could solidify it. I personally like a Mike Evans.
Sure.
10 straight years of 1,000 yards. He had he led the NFL in touchdown catches last year. To me, that's still important. I know people have been talking about his breakaway and can he break away. But anyway, pairing him with Patrick Mahomes or him being the veteran in that room with that Super Bowl ring. And, of course, Rashee Rice, of course, has that ring too. To go along with it. But I just feel like he would be a nice fixture in the wide receiver room. And then you draft a receiver as well. So you're drafting a receiver at 32. You got Rashee Rice coming back. You go out and get a Mike Evans in the offseason. All of a sudden, your wide receiver room looks completely different than it did a season ago.
I think the sexiest thing about Mike Evans is that then your red zone options are pretty much you're
100%.
Good then. Then you can just throw that corner fade every single time, and you can pretty much trust him to go up there and get it.
He's a touchdown machine.
Yeah.
That's what he is. You get in that red zone, he and Travis Kelce become immediate threats. And then because all the attention's on Kelce, we saw in the Super Bowl, all the double coverage and some triple coverage on Kelce, he actually pointed to McCole Hardman wasn't even watching and knew the Chiefs were going to get a touchdown there at the very end. They did it earlier when Rashee Rice made a big catch. It's just that trust factor because they're watching him so much. they're leaving him open. So if Mike Evans was out there as well, him and Kelsey combined, and Rashee Rice getting attention, who are you going to guard?
No doubt about it. Binkley, Dan and KCK says, Blind Box Barbecue Miller Lite for Binkley's birthday. I can't see anything wrong with that if you ask me, in my opinion, there.
I don't think so either. Dan's the man.
Do we know? We already know your Friday night, right? Combine, beers, brews, yep. Pizza, TV. You're set, right?
I am set, Dustman. Looking forward to it. I love talking to you and Nathan, but this is kind of what my Friday nights have become.
All right. Well, I'll let you get to it. I appreciate the time every Friday. We'll talk to you again next Friday at 6:30. Binkley, enjoy the night and take care, and happy early birthday, my
man. Happy birthday, Bink.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it, Nathan. Appreciate it, Dusty.
Take care. Jay Binkley, Three Guys in a Garage on Twitter. Character Concerns podcast, he and Chris Unicero, great work. A lot of due diligence inside of that. Coming back on the other side, Richard of the Week. Don't mess with kids, man, and you won't end up on this list. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Nathan. This is 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to After Hours. I feel like Binkley's best birthday gift you can get him is an unlimited beer tab, a DoorDash large pepperoni stuffed crust pizza, and a free Royals pass for the entire year.
I wonder if the combine has ever fallen on his birthday. It has to have at some point, right?
I mean, probably every like 4 years,
yeah.
You'd think, right? This is After Hours, 610 Sports Radio. Every Friday night around this time, somebody becomes a new victim of what we like to call Richard of the Week.
Say what?
Shut up.
Shut up, Richard.
Shut up. Shut up.
My consorting with a known felon.
Shut up, Richard.
That was
the best. Shut up.
You did it?
Yes! Oh, Richard, I'm so happy you pulled.
This week's Richard of the Week, oh, man, it goes to our people across the pond. It goes to a group of people who thought it'd be a really good idea.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
If you like piña coladas, getting caught in the rain. If you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain.
That's right.
If you like making love at midnight.
Who doesn't like making love at midnight?
In the dunes on the Cape.
In the dunes on the Cape. Joining us now, Jay Binkley of the Character Concerns podcast. You can check out that podcast every week that it comes out. Him, Chris Unicero, they get all your information as we are closer and closer to getting to that point. Jay Binkley, how are you, my man?
What's going on, Des, man? I'm just calling you from the dunes on the Cape.
Oh, so you've already had your sex?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm glad you...
No, I didn't. I was actually at happy hour earlier.
That's right, you and I.
Yeah, you saw me.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, a bird has told me that somebody's got a birthday coming up.
Yeah, well, you never know. It might happen, you know. I mean, it's probably on the bathroom wall. What is the birthdays for the month?
No, we have a birthday coming up for one Jay Binkley.
It would be Sunday, Dustman, but because of leap year, it is now Monday.
You're kind of affected by the leap day.
Yeah, kind of. My birthday's going from, actually, it was Saturday last year. It goes to Monday this year, Mondays aren't very fun, you know, come on.
913-586-7610. Jay Binkley's perfect birthday gift is blank. We'll read those for you as we do this interview, Jay Binkley. I led my show off today with something that I feel could either piss you off or make you think. I said that the NFL Combine is a waste of time and it's overrated. What is your opinion?
Oh, Dustman.
I know.
Oh, you hurt my feelings. Actually,
I know.
It's all I've been doing. I mean, I've been texting Kristen Lucero back and forth. We were talking about these 40 times, and Nate Wiggins hurting himself after running his 4.29 40, and
popped his quad. You know,
but it's fun to talk about. It's fun to talk about the prospects. It's fun to go back and see some of the guys the Chiefs drafted in the past and see which direction they're going. But the NFL season's begun. It's hard to believe that it just seems like the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, which they actually really were. It's the same month that they won a Super Bowl, and now they're already at the NFL Combine. And then we have NFL free agency coming up March 11th through 13th, the legal tampering period. But I absolutely love, love, love the Combine. It is fun to dive into, Dusty, and tomorrow we get to see the wide receivers, the quarterbacks, and the running backs. So it is a big Chiefs day to watch tomorrow at noon on NFL Network.
Yeah, but you know none of the important receivers and quarterbacks are going to do anything in the Combine, though.
Well, a lot of them are. A lot of them are. Like Marvin Harrison Jr. is not going to do it. But Rome Odunze said that he's going to do everything. Malik Nabers won't do it. But a lot of the guys will be there at 32. Brian Thomas and Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell. You'll see. Well, Xavier Worthy's kind of coming off that injury. So you'll see a lot of the guys that the Chiefs could draft participate in combine drills tomorrow, which you're looking forward to.
Right now, who is the dream pick for Jay Binkley in this draft at pick 32 for the Kansas City Chiefs?
I think Brian Thomas, the 6'4 receiver from LSU who led the nation in touchdowns. He, Xavier Worthy is another one, even though he's a lot smaller, but he fits the profile of what the Chiefs need. He's over 6 foot. He's talking about being the fastest guy in the draft. I mean, it's in the 4.2 category. We'll see what he runs tomorrow in the 40. But Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell. But Brian Thomas, Keon Coleman, I think that group right there could be there. I don't think Brian Thomas quite goes to 32. I think he's like 28 to 32. But one of those four guys that would be delighted, and two of those guys, and Keon Coleman and Xavier Worthy, can return punts as well. So very excited about those guys.
We are talking to Jay Binkley of the Character Concerns podcast, also of 6'10". He is the Whit Merrifield or the Hunter Renfro of the station. It is Binkley's birthday on Monday, so Jay Binkley would like to have blank for his birthday. So far, Bink, you have Maction in Spring from the 816. Yeah. You have from the 913 Beer Chew and Scratch Off Tickets. And yeah, the other one is a six-pack of IPA Pounders for Bink.
Yeah, it's a great text line.
It looks like people know you well.
They do. They do. They're kind of nailing everything.
Yeah.
Love it.
You know what they say. Okay, so last night I said, and maybe this is a thought process, but with the two big names that we're hearing in the offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs, L'Jarius Sneed, Chris Jones, there's no secret there. This team is better with Chris Jones and without L'Jarius Sneed, fact or fiction?
Oh, you know what? It's so tough because I'm such a big fan of L'Jarius Sneed. I will say Jones only because his presence, because he could play inside and outside, but it's a very close. I mean, they're right there, 1A, 1B, or 1A, 1A, because what L'Jarius Sneed does to other number one wide receivers, he kind of bullies them. He's always hitting them. He's always in their face. He's limiting them to a bad game. As far as that's concerned, he could play different positions. He always has. He's been great at blitzing from the secondary. But just Chris Jones, I mean, I think Chris Jones right now, you could say he's a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. I don't think Sneed is. So career-wise, I think it's Jones. But if you ask me at the end of 3 years who's going to be better, Sneed or Jones, I would say Sneed.
I just feel like this team, and by the way, breaking news, and again, I'm not trying to break your heart or crush your birthday wishes, Ian Rappaport, Georgia tight end Brock Bowers will not be working out at the Combine. It was just announced here at Lucas Oil.
Yeah. Yeah, I just heard about that. Uno Cero just texted me and told me that. I'm locked in with my Boulevard Irish Ale. I'm ready to go, man. I'm ready to go on Combine tonight.
I try to tell you, it's a little overrated. Doesn't need to be done. It's more about the closed-door meetings between player, coach, and GM. That's just me. look, here's why Chris Jones, to me, is more important to keep on this team than L'Jarius Sneed. Williams, Watson, McDuffie, right? All won a Super Bowl as rookies. I get it. L'Jarius Sneed was on that team. corners, maybe I'm wrong here, corners, are they not better when the pressure up front is immaculate? And if Chris Jones stays there, he still can produce pressure up front for at least, I think, a good two more years. He also can help the evolution of Karlaftis and the evolution of a guy that you drafted last year in the 32nd pick in Felix Ndukayuzama. Plus, you don't have Omenihu coming back next year, so I feel like you're stretched thin at D-line as opposed to you are at cornerbacks. And Beagle, you and I both know games of trenches sure. can be won in the, at the defensive and offensive line. And Chris Jones, I think he's solidified himself to be here.
If he can maintain his consistency for 3 years,
true.
Whatever the length of the contract is. But you're right. I mean, only Neil Farrell's under contract. He's the only guy under contract from the Chiefs defensive line. But you know what? Karlaftis got 10.5 sacks last year. That's the same as Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa and George Karlaftis both 10.5 sacks. I expect that number to go up with Karlaftis. Now, how much does Jones influence what they do? Quite a bit, I'm sure. But how much does Legarius Sneed help out Trent McDuffie and help out that secondary? I think quite a bit. But I will say this. The secondary has more pieces in it than what the defensive line does without Chris Jones. So, yes, in that sense. But having two shutdown corners in McDuffie and Legarius Sneed is immeasurable. And he's younger. So I do like that fact with Sneed.
I had a bold strategy about the offseason free agency. I know that a lot of people's wish list, I mean, if I could wake up in the morning on Christmas and the Chiefs announce, or Adam Schefter or somebody announces the Chiefs have agreed to a deal with Michael Pittman Jr., Binkley, I'd run around the station butt naked. But I don't think that's going to happen. I look at the reality. If it does, we can go back and play the tape about how wrong I was. But I like this strategy more. Go get two solidified number twos. You know who's out there? A guy like Curtis Samuel. Wouldn't he be great on this team? And wouldn't this team be great if you had guys like Curtis Samuel, the kid out of New Orleans, the Shahid, that kid who can run the deep pass, who's a solid number two option, and then rushing.
Mike Evans.
I mean, Mike Evans ain't coming here, man. I want to believe it, but I mean, it looks like his situation is, I'm 32 years old. I want a big ass contract. I've already won my Super Bowl, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't speak for everybody, but what if you lined up this team with three solidified number two dudes with Isaiah Pacheco in the backfield and Patrick Mahomes still at quarterback, and then you could just run, like, basically you'd have Juju, Watkins, and Rashee Rice. Would you love that or not?
I think he could solidify it. I personally like a Mike Evans.
Sure.
10 straight years of 1,000 yards. He had he led the NFL in touchdown catches last year. To me, that's still important. I know people have been talking about his breakaway and can he break away. But anyway, pairing him with Patrick Mahomes, or him being the veteran in that room with that Super Bowl ring. And, of course, Rashee Rice, of course, has that ring, too, to go along with it. But I just feel like he would be a nice fixture in the wide receiver room. And then you draft a receiver as well. So you're drafting a receiver at 32. You got Rashee Rice coming back. You go out and get a Mike Evans in the offseason. All of a sudden, your wide receiver room looks completely different than it did a season ago.
I think the sexiest thing about Mike Evans is that then your red zone options are pretty much, you're 100%. Good then. Then you can just throw that corner fade every single time, and you can pretty much trust him to go up there and get it.
He's a touchdown machine.
Yeah.
That's what he is. You get in that red zone, he and Travis Kelce become immediate threats. And then because all the attention's on Kelce, we saw in the Super Bowl, all the double coverage and some triple coverage on Kelce, he actually pointed to McCole Hardman getting the order, like, wasn't even watching and knew the Chiefs were going to get a touchdown there at the very end. They did it earlier when Rashee Rice made a big catch. It's just that trust factor because they're watching him so much, they're leaving him open. So if Mike Evans was out there as well, him and Kelce combined, and Rashee Rice getting attention, who are you going to guard?
No doubt about it. Binkley, Dan and KCK says, Blind Box Barbecue Miller Lite for Binkley's birthday. I can't see anything wrong with that if you ask me, in my opinion, there.
I don't think so either. Dan's a man.
Do we know? We already know your Friday night, right? Combine, beers, brews, pizza, TV. You're set, right?
I am set, Dust Man. Looking forward to it. I love talking to you and Nathan, but this is kind of what my Friday nights have become.
All right. Well, I'll let you get to it. I appreciate the time every Friday. We'll talk to you again next Friday at 6:30. Binkley, enjoy the night and take care, and happy early birthday, my
man. Happy birthday, Bink.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate Nathan. Appreciate Dusty.
Take care. Jay Binkley, Three Guys in a Garage on Twitter. Character Concerns podcast. He and Chris Unicero, great work. A lot of due diligence inside of that. Coming back on the other side, Richard of the Week. Don't mess with kids, man, and you won't end up on this list. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Nathan. This is 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to After Hours. All I need is your love. feel like Binkley's best birthday gift you can get him is an unlimited beer tab, a DoorDash large pepperoni stuffed crust pizza, and a free Royals pass for the entire year.
I wonder if the combine has ever fallen on his birthday. It has to have at some point, right?
I mean, probably every like 4 years,
yeah.
You'd think, right? This is After Hours, 610 Sports Radio. Every Friday night around this time, somebody becomes a new victim of what we like to call Richard of the Week.
Say what?
Shut up.
Shut up, Richard.
Shut up. Shut up.
Am I consorting with a known felon?
Shut up, Richard.
That was
pathetic.
Shut up.
Did you get it?
Yes! Oh, Richard, I'm so happy you
This week's Richard of the Week. Oh, man, it goes to our people across the pond. It goes to a group of people who thought it'd be a really good idea to sell a pop-up, innovated, new experience called the Wonka Experience. Those people sucked. Basically, what they did is created Fire Festival, but Willy Wonka edition. I don't know if you missed this article or not. TMZ had it all week. For those of you that don't follow TMZ, I don't blame you. I feel like the devil is in disguise with TMZ. But I will say this. They put a bunch of these cool pictures. And we know that Willy Wonka is probably a little bit bigger in the UK. Right? You've seen all the movies. You know what it's like when you walk into that factory. Charlie Bucket, how many candy bars did you have? Two. Okay, 200. Not 200, two. Well, you can't just have two. Well, anyways, when you do bad things and you mess with kids, you get pissed off parents. And what's better than a pissed off parent that speaks British and a British accent? I don't know if you speak British, but they have a British accent. And here's the audio of these parents really just letting these creators have it.
So it's a scam. You've scammed children.
I've done nothing.
These have scammed kids. That's what they've done. It's a total scam.
If you could start using they, because I'm for David, and I'm on that camera and you're pointing at me and you're accusing me of something I'm not doing.
But you're here. You're part of the venue.
I've been hired off the venue.
So again, for the purposes of clarity, the
but
house
for the company
of Illuminati. Thank you for
right,
your time.
Right. Thank you for your time. Do you think you're going to get rid of this? If you looked at the queue, how long here would be people, parents and their children?
You're lucky if the cameras here, because that's getting rid of all your booty.
Come back.
You scam the children.
So it's a scam.
It's a scam.
You've scammed children.
You want that chick pissed at you? You want Super Nanny pissed at you? You want people coming after you? Don't be Richards. Give the kids what they want. Don't let AI affect what it's going to look like. There it is. Oompa Loompas. Right? You don't want kids coming up to your place thinking they're going to get all this up. You scam children. If you're going to put the time into putting the audio or the video or the visuals out there of what your place can look like, I don't know if you saw the pictures, Nathan. It was an absolute disaster.
It was terrible.
It was a dumpster fire.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, if that's your thing, but just if I was one of the parents, I will say $50 to go walk through a – what were they expecting, first of all? What was this marketed
as? That's fair.
But then they showed up to this warehouse, and there's like a rainbow –
that was made out of, like, trash bags.
And a dude dressed as Willy Wonka, and that's it.
And he didn't look like Willy Wonka.
He did not.
And you know how bad it got? You know how bad this got? You found one of the biggest Richards of them all reaching out.
What advice do you give to the organizers of that event?
One, you got to find a plan to make it up for the kids. But two, once you do that, I will hire you to do the Willy Wonka Experience at Fire 2 for adults. But fix it for the kids first, and then come join the team.
I love that. So they should fix it, and they should try to redeliver.
Yeah, they have to redeliver. I think what's interesting, though, is how AI kind of created the whole experience. Mm-hmm. I thought the flyer was genius, but it also shows how AI can go wrong. But yeah, guys, fix it, make it up to the kids. Then you have a job at Fire 2. We'll give you the guardrails, and you can do what you dreamed of.
You've got Billy McFarland in the flesh telling you to make it up to the kids who absolutely destroyed a bunch of kids' dreams for a music festival. He promised Blink-182, Ja Rule, who was also in on the bit. None of that happened. They got cheese sandwiches and slept in teepees.
That documentary is insane if you haven't watched the Firefest thing.
Insane.
At least these Willy Wonka folks didn't have to fly, you know, across the ocean.
Or get a golden ticket. Right. If anything, refund everybody. You pissed off parents. You made kids have nightmares over what they thought was going to be a Willy Wonka experience. If I was a kid and I went there, I'd be mad at my parents. That's why the parents are mad at these guys. That's why these guys are Richards of the Week. And if you love hearing pissed off British parents, one more time.
So it's a scam. You've scammed children.
I've done nothing.
You've scammed kids. That's what they've done. It's a total scam.
If you could start using they, because I'm forgiving them and I'm on that camera and you're pointing at me and you're accusing me of something.
You start using they, it's going to get me pissed off because I don't have anything to do with them.
So you're here. You're part of the venue.
You're part of the venue.
So again, for the purposes of clarity, the
but he's for the company.
Of the company.
He's the company. That's
thank you for
right,
your time.
Right. Thank you for right. Your time. Do you think you're going to get rid of us? If you worked at the queue, how long here be people, parents and their children?
And your pal.
Oi.
You're lucky you've got cameras out because I've can read all your booty.
Come back.
There's one way to be a Rich of the Week. Mess with kids. Don't do it. Don't ruin kids' dreams. That's all they got at that age. Dreams and ambitions. And you took away their dreams and ambitions by doing a fake Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory Museum. You blew up a rainbow with with helium and breath. And then you got their parents pissed off at you with a lot of hot breath. Don't be those guys. If you're going to live up to your expectations, do it. If you're not, warn them ahead of time. Don't be a Rich of the Week. That's this week's Rich of the Week. The imposters, the fakes, the phonies of what should have been a Willy Wonka experience that wasn't. Boy, I'd love to go to a Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory experience. Good thing we know the future of the AFC West. I'll explain on the other side. Listen after hours of 610 Sports Radio. I feel like Binkley's best birthday gift you can get him is an unlimited beer tab, a DoorDash large pepperoni stuffed crust pizza, and a free Royals pass for the entire year.
I wonder if the Combine has ever fallen on his birthday. It has to have at some point, right?
I mean, probably every like 4 years,
yeah.
You'd think, right? This is After Hours, 610 Sports Radio. Every Friday night, around this time, somebody becomes a new victim of what we like to call Richard of the Week.
Say what?
Shut up,
Ricky. Shut up,
Ricky. Shut up. Yeah. Shut up.
My consorting with a known felon?
Shut up, Richard.
That.
You get it?
Yes! Oh, Richard, I'm so happy.
This week's Richard of the Week, oh man, it goes to our people across the pond. It goes to a group of people who thought it'd be a really good idea to sell a pop-up, innovated new experience called the Wonka Experience. Those people sucked. Basically, what they did is created Fire Festival, but Willy Wonka edition. I don't know if you missed this article or not. TMZ had it all week. For those of you that don't follow TMZ, I don't blame you. I feel like the devil is in disguise with TMZ. But I will say this. They put a bunch of these cool pictures. And we know that Willy Wonka is probably a little bit bigger in the UK, right? You've seen all the movies. You know what it's like when you walk into that factory. Charlie Bucket, how many candy bars did you have? Two. Okay, 200. Not 200, two. Well, you can't just have two. Well, anyways, when you do bad things and you mess with kids, you get pissed off parents. And what's better than a pissed off parent that speaks British and a British accent? I don't know if you speak British, but they have a British accent. And here's the audio of these parents really just letting these creators have it.
So it's a scam. You've scammed children.
I've done nothing.
You've scammed kids. That's what they've done. It's a total scam.
If you could stop using they, because I'm forgiving them and I'm on that camera and you're pointing at me and you're accusing me of something I'm not forgiving.
But you're here. You're part of the venue.
I've been hired off the venue.
Thank you for your time. Do you think you're going to get ready? If you worked at the queue, how long here be people, parents and their children?
You're lucky if the coach put the cameras out, because that's going to rise all your booty.
Come back!
You scam the children.
So it's a scam.
It's a scam.
You've scammed children.
You want that chick pissed at you? You want Super Nanny pissed at you? You want people coming after you? Don't be Richards. Give the kids what they want. Don't let AI affect what it's going to look like. There it is. Oompa Loompas. Right? You don't want kids coming up to your place thinking they're going to get all this up. You scam children. If you're going to put the time into putting the audio or the video or the visuals out there of what your place can look like, I don't know if you saw the pictures, Nathan. It was an absolute disaster.
It was terrible.
It was a dumpster fire.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, if that's your thing, but just if I was one of the parents, I will say $50 to go walk through what were they expecting, first of all? What was this marketed
that's
as?
Fair.
But then they showed up to this warehouse and there's like a rainbow.
That was made out of like trash bags.
And a dude dressed as Willy Wonka and that's it.
And he didn't look like Willy Wonka.
He did not.
And you know how bad it got? You know how bad this got? You found one of the biggest Richards of them all reaching out.
What advice do you give to the organizers of that event?
One, you got to find a plan to make it up for the kids. But two, once you do that, I will hire you, do the Willy Wonka experience at Fire 2 for adults. But fix it for the kids first and then come join the team.
I love that. So they should fix it and they should try to redeliver.
Yeah, they have to redeliver. I think what's interesting, though, is how AI kind of created the whole experience. Mm-hmm. I thought the flyer was genius, but it also shows how AI can go wrong. But yeah, guys, fix it, make it up to the kids. Then you have a job at Fire 2. We'll give you the guardrails, and you can do what you dreamed of.
You've got Billy McFarlane in the flesh telling you to make it up to the kids who absolutely destroyed a bunch of kids' dreams for a music festival. He promised Blink-182, Ja Rule, who was also in on the bit. None of that happened. They got cheese sandwiches and slept in teepees.
That documentary is insane if you haven't watched the Firefest thing.
Insane.
At least these Willy Wonka folks didn't have to fly across the ocean.
Or get a golden ticket. Right. If anything, refund everybody. You pissed off parents. You made kids have nightmares over what they thought was going to be a Willy Wonka experience. If I was a kid and I went there, I'd be mad at my parents. That's why the parents are mad at these guys. That's why these guys are Richards of the Week. And if you love hearing pissed off British parents, one more time.
So it's a scam. You've scammed children.
You've
scammed kids. That's what they've done. It's a total scam.
If you could stop using they, because I'm forgiving them and I'm on that camera and you're pointing at me and you're accusing me of something.
You start using they, it's going to get me pissed off because I don't have anything to do with them.
But you're here. You're part of the venue.
You're part of the venue.
Thank you for your time. Do you think you're going to get ready? If you worked at the queue, how long here be people, parents and their children?
You're lucky if the coach put the cameras out, because that's going to rise all your booty.
Come back!
There's one way to be a Rich of the Week. Mess with kids. Don't do it. Don't ruin kids' dreams. That's all they got at that age. Dreams and ambitions. And you took away their dreams and ambitions by doing a fake Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory Museum. You blew up a rainbow with helium and breath. And then you got their parents pissed off at you with a lot of hot breath. Don't be those guys. If you're going to live up to your expectations, do it. If you're not, warn them ahead of time. Don't be a Rich of the Week. That's this week's Rich of the Week. The imposters, the fakes, the phonies of what should have been a Willy Wonka experience that wasn't. Boy, I'd love to go to a Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory experience. Good thing we know the future of the AFC West. I'll explain on the other side. Listen after hours of 610 Sports Radio.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.